You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene. We are also part of Ampire Media at AmpireMedia.com. I'm Wole, joined by my co-host Ray Jeezy. What's good, Ray?
What's good, brother? It's the season of being thankful.
That is,
and
right.
And I'm thankful for this platform, bro. Love you, bro.
Glad Love you too, man. You already know it. You already know what time
and
it is, bro.
Let's have fun. Commanders playing on Thanksgiving, which is interesting. The team seemed pretty upbeat today in pregame interviews. So I'm interested to see how they perform this week. I know we're going to talk about that. And also the Washington Wizards. Like I said, and like shout out to Kelsey Nelson. I've been watching her online, man, and on Twitter. And not Twitter. It's X. My bad.
X.
I've been watching her comments about just how depressed right now DC Sports is in terms of professional games. There's some good stuff going on the collegiate level, though.
And the Cowboys are playing good hockey. So, yeah, I guess there's a professional team that's decent, right?
That's true. I forgot to mention that. For us, though.
I know.
It's not Ed Frankovic time yet, baby.
It's not, though. You already know what time it is.
It's not that time
I wonder
time
if
yet.
Ed does, like, video. Like, I didn't even ask, like. Then I'm like,
sure he would.
I know,
I've
right?
I've seen him on video before.
Okay, cool. Like, I would like to get Ed back on to talk Capitals. You know, Will T would always hate on this, but I would love to get Ed to talk about some Caps. You know,
There's nothing wrong with talking Caps.
Not at all, man. Rock the red, bro. Rock the red. You already know what time it is. All right, man. I mentioned Amp Papyrus Media. Amp Papyrus Media hosts multiple DMV sports podcast shows, such as the John Kime Report, hosted by ESPN Washington Commanders insider John Kime, and Jones Football, hosted by USA Today insider Mike Jones. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene.
Yeah, if you watch this on YouTube, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. And for anybody watching this on whatever platform, man, just go to the YouTube page and like and subscribe to the Urban Sports Scene. Also, hit us up on X at Urban Sports Scene. Also, on IG at Urban Sports Scene. And hit us up and follow our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page.
And also join our Urban Sports Scene Facebook group. Search Urban Sports Scene, sports bloggers, sports podcasters, and sports debates.
And then go over to footballgarbagetime.com to check out our weekly NFL picks. It's part of our annual Football Garbage Time versus Urban Sports Scene Pick'em Challenge.
All right, let's get to our tradition, the pregame. Here's what we have on tap. We'll talk about the Commanders losing to the Giants, the New York Giants, and their Thanksgiving game against their ultimate rivals, the Dallas Cowboys. Then at 8:30, we'll debate whether having Ron Rivera finishing the season is the best move for business for the Washington Commanders. At 8:45, we'll talk about whether the Commanders should go after linebacker Shaq Leonard, HBCU, South Carolina State. You know what time it is. Finally, at 8:55, we'll discuss whether the Wizards should trade guard Jordan Poole this season. All right, Ray, you know, I watched this game and a pathetic showing. The Commanders fail. To their daddies, I gotta use a Pedro Martinez joint. To their daddies, the New York Giants, 31-19. Ray, what are your thoughts on Washington's performance?
As Chris Berman so eloquently put it, the Giants are 1-8 against the rest of the NFL, 2-0 versus the Commanders. That stings a bit when you think of it from that standpoint. Bro. Also, I thought that the low point was the Buffalo game. Remember, we talked about it on
here.
If you're watching this on YouTube, you can check out our shorts. I said, it's not going to get any lower than this after that beatdown against the Bills at home. And unfortunately, and this is coming from the head coach, the current head coach, Ron Rivera, this is a low point.
Yeah.
But turnovers, obviously, I don't want to be redundant. Turnovers were a big deal for the Commanders. They had six turnovers. And then the Giants did not have any turnovers. They could not force the Giants any turnovers. And when you have a young, inexperienced quarterback in DeVito, who still lives at home with George put out there. Like, we lost to a dude still living with his mom. You got to force a young, inexperienced quarterback into turnovers and mistakes. And the Commanders' defense, although they had 9 sacks, they failed to do that. That was unfortunate. But my biggest point is this organization has to regain its swagger. If you follow us on X, I brought up the Barry Sanders documentary. Go check it out, Wole. I know you don't have Prime. Use your brothers. But if you go check out the Barry Sanders documentary, Barry Sanders talked about how the Washington Redskins – in 91 were the class of the league. You remember the Detroit Lions?
We beat them in the NFC Championship game. I remember that.
41-10.
Yeah, I remember that game.
Because they had swagger. Listen, they knew what they were coming into. The Lions knew coming into RFK what was about to happen. The Giants did not respect this team. They came in to FedEx knowing they can win this game. And that's exactly what they did. Every time they match up against this Commander squad, they feel like they have a good chance to win. And that's why they come out on top. It's that mental edge. It's the mental edge that's a tough thing to overcome. And this team needs to get that back. And it's going to change. And the change is going to start with the top. Of course, Magic Johnson, we love how he comes out of the games. He's a winner historically. And I think he's going to help. He's going to help to put the change out there. He's going to help to invoke a new beginning for this franchise. Just can't happen yet, but it has to happen because people need the fear to come to DC, and it's not happening.
Definitely not. So, I mean, Ray, you know, we talked about it on our other post-game show, but you didn't get the opportunity to talk about it.
Oh, because I got kicked off.
I know about me, because you can't tell me that last – you can't tell me, oh, I can't make it, and all of a sudden, yeah, I'm down to make it. Like, come on, we don't do it like that because they lost.
No. It's not because they lost. It's because they lost to the Giants at home to DeVito. I had to be there for that. When I saw that, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to make time for this.
Look at you. You can't say you got to make time beforehand, bro.
Listen, my life is complicated. But go ahead,
bro. I know. You know, I'm with you. But, yeah, in terms – what was surprising to you about that game, though, bro? Like, we did – like, going through that process, I wasn't – I knew that the Giants – my back of my mind, I was like, the Giants have confidence playing Washington. They automatically have that confidence. But I really didn't believe that DeVito could do anything because I watched some prior games. I really didn't. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was trying to talk myself into it, but I really didn't believe it. But for you, like, what would surprise you about that outcome in the game?
Washington had 28 first downs. 28 first downs in the game. How many did the Giants have, Wole? Do you know?
Like one? Was that how many first downs? Not one. I'm wrong. How many first downs? They had that big third down. Was just it guess. Like, I mean, let's say, guess. I don't guess that, six, like five?
They had 13 first downs game, but the Commanders more than doubled that, 28 first downs. The Commanders had over 400 yards of offense. Mm. The Giants didn't even eclipse 300 yards in total offense, but somehow
they won this game.
Gets it done, throws three TDs, has the game of his life. That game changed his life. That was a shock to me. I know, like you just said, DeVito, but the fact that the stats, you look like you outplayed them. You look like you outplayed the Giants based on what you saw on paper outside of the turnover battle. Yeah. And you still came up short against a football team that, because of injuries, because of a lack of consistent quarterback play, is not very good this season. That started out the year getting blown out at home 40-0 against a division rival who had everything going against them. And somehow, even with these statistical numbers that I heard Josh Harris covets, he studies all the analytics. Well, the analytics said you're supposed to win this game, and you didn't.
I know. That's what hurt my feelings. Like, I just did not like
out, man.
I know. You had to get kicked out. That's why I'm glad you did get kicked out. Yeah, I mean, y'all folks can hear me on other platforms go off on that game, but that's just a pathetic showing. It was just a Washington type of game, bro. Like, all those fumbles, like back-to-back fumbles, like you had Logan Thomas fumble.
Yeah, B-Rob.
B-Rock got the ball back. He ain't fumbled. Oh, it was Christian Rodriguez.
Yeah,
he fumbled.
Chris Rodriguez fumbled.
Yeah, he fumbled. Right. I like him though. What's his name? Pringle fumbled. Those three fumbled. Pringle fumbled on the special teams play. Logan Thomas, to me, typically fumbles a lot. I don't know what it is about Logan, but Logan fumbles a lot for a tight end. He fumbles a lot. But he always fumbles trying to get the extra yard.
He does. He's you working hard out there.
Yeah, he works hard. He had a good game, but he tends to fumble a lot. But yeah, it's just a Washington type of game, man. Like, you're driving, you have some momentum, fumble. It's just a Washington type of thing, man. It's Washington stuff. But that game was annoying. Like it was very annoying. But Ray, there's something that you mentioned. During our post game for the for All Burgundy and Gold or everything, I saw some of your messages, and you were like, you were saying that yourself that this loss wasn't on coaching. Why do you feel that way?
Just like my homie Big Doug said, coaches did not turn the ball over six times. The players did. And here's the thing. I talked about that mental edge. When you are a confident ball club, when you know you're going to beat somebody when they come into your house, most teams see the Giants and they circle it as a W and they come out with that mentality. But unfortunately, that mental edge isn't there with the Commanders. You can kind of hear it in some of the mixed post-game messages that this team's putting out. St. Juice talking about the coaches in some ways.
Well,
right now, I guess we'll get there. But here's the thing. Mentally, it's tough on the defense. Remember Robert Hinson said that when you work so hard, you get sacks, and then your offense turns it over. It's like, ugh. I watched Josh Dobbs create momentum on a Minnesota team that felt like they were dead in the water. That defense all of a sudden started balling. Mm-hmm. They had the talent all along, and now they had a quarterback that's like, hold up, this dude can win us some games. When Joe Burrow went down to Baltimore, that mentality changed on that team. That defense did not look as sharp. They were up 10-7 when he went out, and their confidence, I mean, it drained the life out of them. I'll go all the way back to my man Mike Vick. When Mike Vick got hurt against the Ravens preseason, he came back to a team that only had 2 wins. But that defense and that team looked excited to be on the field with them because they knew they had a guy that could lead them to victory. Mm. At this point, when you keep turning the ball over, the defense was like, you know what? This ain't going to be our day. And it's hard to overcome that mentally. It's hard to go overcome that mentally. I feel like from a mental standpoint, that's where they lost the battle because they did not feel confident that they were going to be able to capitalize with all the mistakes. And they still, of course, against a football team that struggled, they were close.
Yeah, see, it's wild. So I'm gonna pull up the poll. We have a poll, which I'm looking for. I'm actually trying to look for it. That's the wrong one. It's Jordan Poole. I'll pull up later. But I know it's a lot of folks had actually they looked at it the other way.
Yeah, they blame the coaches.
Yeah, they blame the coach. Here it go. No, it's a different one.
It's a bunch. Yeah, a lot of people are blaming Jack.
Yeah, they say here you go. It says all right.
They feel like DeVito should not even come close to performing.
Yeah, that's
that
what
way.
I kind of agree with that. I kind of agree with that. But it says like so. It's 87% said yes. 13% said no. But you have people as well. Some people kind of, they articulated in terms of like posting comments. They kind of resonated with you saying, Ray, like you turn the ball over 6 times. You can't blame the coaching on turning the ball over 6 times. I do think it's a little bit of both. To be honest with you, yes, you turn the ball over 6 times and that's not coaching, right? That's just to be negligence of not valuing the football. But also at the same time, DeVito threw for like 246 yards, close to 250. He pretty much matched his season performance in one game. That's how bad he's been. So it does say something about coaching. Like, it does. I'm sorry. Like, yes, your offense sets you up, but DeVito isn't the type of quarterback that should be able to exploit those mistakes because he's that bad of a – I mean, he's that bad of a quarterback. You know what I'm saying? Now, if he goes after this game and starts, you know, airing it out and becoming the next Peyton Manning or Tom Brady, then God bless him. You know what I'm saying? The Washington could look back and say, well, no, he did it to somebody else. But prior to last Sunday, he was a backup quarterback at best. Right. At best. Prior to – and then Sunday, he looked good. 3 touchdown passes, 246 yards. That ain't cutting it for your defense. That ain't. Especially like you said – and you had 9 sacks. So that lets you know you can get pressure on him, 9 sacks. And he held the ball. He helped you get 9 sacks. So he's not the best quarterback back out there, but there's something about this Washington defense that allows quarterbacks to look good. And to me, that's coaching. Like when you get bad players, well, a bad quarterback coming to your home, you should be able to exploit that. You know what I mean? Like they scored 31 points. So really, it's pick six, not 31. The pick six doesn't count. So it was not 31 actually, but it's like 24 points. They scored 24 points. You know what I'm saying? Like they weren't able to really produce anything like that prior. You know what I mean? So that's all I'm saying. All I'm saying is that yes, your offense did put you, like some of the fumbles put you in a bad situation, and also the defense did step up. But sometimes where they were an ideal situation, and they had a couple sacks, and they got the Giants out of field goal range or out of scoring zones because of like the sacks and them stepping up to the moment. But there were times where you're like, you know, the Saquon Barkley touchdown pass, like, you had him a third and long. That shouldn't even have been a thing. You had a third and long. That was a touchdown pass. Like, nah, that's when your defense needs to step up, at least hold them to 3. And you couldn't do, and you didn't do that. Again, I'm not saying you're doing this against, I would understand if this was against, even a Geno Smith. I would understand that this was a Geno Smith. But this is Danny. This is like, okay, Danny. This is Tommy DeVito, bro.
Right.
Like, nah. See,
that's what Big Doug was saying on X. He said, I don't understand how this team can go toe-to-toe with some of the top teams in the league. And then they play against Tommy DeVito and he puts up 3 touchdowns on them.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It's hard to fathom. Again, it comes down to that mental edge, man, that's lacking on this team. And I don't think that's coaching. Doc Walker said that. It's not.
Yeah.
Coaches can't do that for you. You got to have that. You got to have yourself now. But it's hard.
It is coaching. But like, dog, we talk about this in Baltimore, bro. That's what we talk about Baltimore. It's a mentality.
I agree with that. I'm just saying, according to those who play the game, who have played at a high level, they're like, if you can't basically get yourself up for a game, if you can't get yourself geared up and hyped, then that's a problem.
But I think those players, this is the thing. I feel like those players, like Doc, they were around some good – they were around a good coach, man. So it's hard. Like, I get – he's right. No, he's totally right. Ideally, you're supposed to step up to the challenge as a player because it's a pride thing. It ain't – this is a pride thing. It's on you. Like, it's as a competitor, you want to put your best foot forward. Like, we were talking about Kobe before we started doing this show live. Like, Kobe is like, that's an internal thing. He don't want to look bad. He wants to go in and be a savage. That's an internal thing. But in terms of a team culture, like, we was talking to Bram about this when he was – and Bram was about – talk about Baltimore. Like, that's a culture thing. Baltimore can give you – you may not know a single person on Baltimore defense, but you know you're going to be in a fight on that against that defense. You know you're going to be in a fight. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's culture. Like, in terms of, you want to see guys step up to the moment. But if your culture isn't ideal, then it ain't going – then you're not going to get everybody on that unit playing a certain way.
Bro, what look I love what Chase, about Baltimore, too, is – they draft who they want, even in the midst of criticism.
Yes.
The pundit said, do not draft Terrell Suggs. Yeah. Said he wasn't that good.
Yeah.
Kyle Hamilton. Just
Hamilton, same thing. His 40
time
wasn't good.
But it does come back to culture. Don't get me started. Yeah. I just don't want to go there.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying, because like, it's the same. What did Chase say about San Fran? Not to be funny, not to mention the old, like, but he said it about San Fran. It's just something about it. Like, it's a culture. Like, that's what it is. And
expect to win, no matter what you're going to feel.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. That's a culture thing. You know what I mean? So that's even if you talk about Doc, I watched Fred Smoot and Santana Moss and Logan Paulson's podcast on YouTube. Fred Smoot pretty much tell you it's like it's basically culture about coaching and mentality about how players they're basically telling you.
You want to have a culture just like Baltimore. I'm sorry. Where a seventh rounder like Geno Stone can show up, who many thought should be out the league at this point, and now he's playing his way into freaking stardom almost. I mean, making turnovers, making big plays. Yeah. His name's always getting called. Again, it does come back to that. And honestly, it starts at the top. I think that you got the right people in place now at the top to turn this around. I want to say that because I'm not going to say John Harbaugh is the greatest coach, but he fits into that culture.
Yeah.
Straight up.
I agree.
Brian Billick. Was a really good coach before him. Right. It's the culture, my friend.
Look at Campbell in Detroit.
Yeah,
that's culture, bro. He just changed cultures. Like that's all I'm saying. I do think you got to own it, but I do think a little bit of it is like culture. In terms of if you're blaming coaches, my man, Washington Sports Den said specifically on the defensive side, weak zone cover schemes. And taking a corner out of coverage for a blitz, Bienemy is the one giving Washington a chance with his offensive play calling. Fanboys Comics, this is on X, said on paper there's too much talent not to show up every week. Yes, so yes, it's on coaching. The laziness, the fumbles, all that starts with coaching.
Mm.
So I mean, some people have some. Yeah, so.
I mean, it's no wrong answer if you ask me. It's
yeah, really. Both. I think so,
there's no wrong answer at all.
I agree. It's definitely a combination of both. So right after the game, everybody wanted Rivera fired ASAP, especially me. I definitely did. Do you think that was warranted, bro?
Yeah, 100%. And when you got EB in the building, you need to evaluate who he is and if he's able to lead this team, because Rivera is not going to be the guy moving forward. We already know that. Why? Mm-hmm. Delay the inevitable.
Yeah.
And we said this last week on the show. Lake Lewis posted this on Next. Too many good coaches have gotten out the building in Ashburn.
Yeah.
You do not want to let EB leave and go to another team and look amazing like O'Connell, like McVay. Shall I go on? It's just something that you do not want the pattern to continue. We talk about culture change. Don't let this happen again. I want to mention Shanahan, but at the same time, bro,
Everybody knew about him. Right. Everybody knew he was going to be good, so it's not like – it's not a surprise. Shanahan's not a surprise. Yeah. Everybody knew.
So you got EB. EB's clearly changed the offense, give him an opportunity. I would just let him and Jack go. I'm sorry. Even in a short week, I would have done it. What else can happen? What's the worst that could happen?
Dude, you're saying the same thing I've been saying. So, but everybody's all fixated on this short week. And I'm like, you just lost to the Giants. I mean, bro, what are you worried about the short week for? You lost to the Giants. Yeah, you lost to a JV team. Like, does it really matter? Like, that's my thing. Like, does it matter? You lost to a JV team. Yeah, I mean, I think he did. I want him fired ASAP after the loss. Yes, that's a guarantee. I'm not going to lie to you. But you do raise a point where you're talking about give the job to EB. And I'm for that. I just get annoyed, like, and this is something, like, at the end of the season, and we'll talk about it a little later on, I guess. Maybe not, though. Like, everybody's fixated on, like, getting, like, a young coordinator, offensive coordinator to be the head coach. Like, everybody's, like, fixated on Ben Johnson for the Detroit Lions. Like, they're real fixated on him, the offensive coordinator for Detroit Lions. And I had to go and think to myself, like, other than Sean McVay, which young dude is won a Super Bowl? Like, everybody wants to go with the young dude, but I'm always about going for the best person, not the young person. So you could say, it's Taylor, right? Zach Taylor for Cincinnati with Joe Burrow. They went to Super Bowl, right? They went, but he didn't win. They went to Super Bowl, but he didn't win. If you look at the last Super Bowl winners, they've been like older coaches. Other than Sean McVay.
Yeah, and in all due respect, Kyle Shanahan hasn't won one yet.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
However, well, you know how I feel, bro. This is my thing. Sustained success is my number one goal. If the Commanders could be the Bengals right now, people would be like, okay, dope.
Of course,
you got
quarterback.
I think you go with somebody who can lead you for years to come.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I agree with that. But my thing is that, all right, so the reason why I say, like, Ben Johnson, because everybody, like, you don't know what you're going to have with that. But it goes back to your point. Like, you got Eric Bieniemy. I guess I get upset at it is that you have Eric Bieniemy in the building, a dude who's won a Super Bowl as an offensive coordinator, who has improved Sam Howell, who you can see there's a big difference between Patrick Mahomes without him. There is a difference. You may not want to acknowledge it, but the Kansas City offense isn't the same since he left Kansas City. So that obviously had some type of impact. So you have a Garrett and you have a dude who's young enough to be with that quarterback and has a good relationship with that quarterback and has progressed that quarterback. But the thought process is always like, well, we have issues with his play calling. He doesn't run the ball enough. He doesn't whatever. I'm like, Andy Reid. Yeah, I like Kansas City, but Andy Reid barely runs the ball. Andy Reid barely runs the ball more than he barely runs the ball more than Washington. But y'all fixated on Andy Reid. He barely runs the ball more than Washington. Like maybe two plays more on average than what Washington runs. But y'all don't like EB. So I'm just like, for me, I just get like y'all want the Ben Johnson dude. I get it. Like I get it. I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying like you got an in-house dude that checks all the boxes. You know what I'm saying? Like his experience is a Super Bowl winning coordinator. He's improved your – he's working with a rookie quarterback, and you're seeing growth out of the rookie quarterback. Your offense is better than it was last year. Why do you want to get somebody out of house to work out the building when you have the known – you have a sure thing here with a guy that's improved your squad? Like, why? You know what I'm saying? So, wow, to your point, man. I would fire him ASAP for him. But to your point, I would fire him ASAP. Like you said, I would fire Rivera ASAP for EB. Yep. I would definitely do that.
But we're past that now. I guess be thankful for the coaches you have. it's Thanksgiving tomorrow. Everybody knows the Commanders and Cowboys. That's the second game after the Detroit and Green Bay game. How do you see this game playing out, Wole? Of course, the fans are very down. Only person, I've seen one person. That's Big Doug. I'm keep shouting him out. Check him out, of course, the Big Douglas Show. He picked the Commanders to win, which isn't far-fetched because they play so much better against the stronger teams. What do you expect in this game? Well, I've seen some of your comments. I already know what you're going to say. I love how everybody's just like, Michael's going to go off and all this other stuff. But knowing the Commanders' potential and the capability when they do come to play, how do you see this playing out?
Well, I think it's going to probably be a blowout. That's me. I have a 41-27. I think Washington can still score some. I think Eric Bieniemy can move the football. I got to trust Eric Bieniemy. But I think they're scoring 40 plus, though. Like the Cowboys are scoring 40. Like, I don't think like this defense is good enough to stop the Cowboys offense. And then you look at, you know, Emmanuel Forbes is going to be out. So you're going to be short in your defensive backfield. So I don't think it's going to be the great thing. But guess what? Cody Barton's back, though. There's no more Mayo. You know what I'm saying? So, you know what I'm saying? The linebacker core is improved with Cody Barton instead of Mayo. Actually, you posted this, you know, the same question on X. And my man Ben posted offense is going to put up some points and correct the turnovers to make things a little more competitive, but Dallas wide receivers are going to absolutely torch the secondary. He's guessing the score is going to be 38-27. Cowboys win. What else? I think I have another one. Do I have another one? I got a couple. I'm going to read it a couple of them off. Here you go. Warren on X said, "We going to get crushed by Dallas because Jack Del Rio play calling sucks. These last games, these coaches should go all out. Seriously, I believe we can beat Dallas, but Jack Del Rio is outdated. He don't keep pressure. He play conservative defense." Let's see. I think I got one. I know George had a funny one. I'm trying to read out what George joined. George had a hilarious joint. here's George. I think George said something about he going to watch a basketball game. I can't find it, though. I think he's going to a basketball game. He said he won't be forced to watch that game or something like that. He's going to a basketball game. I think it's what he said.
Tomorrow. Yeah, he's excited about that. Yeah. Well, and that's what hurts. And I love how George, shout out to him, and it brings sort of the mental health component in terms of life in general. Yeah. When he talked about he said he got picked on growing up, but they had no choice but to respect him when he wore the burgundy and gold because that's how good the organization was.
Who picked on George? Somebody picked on George?
Growing up, he said, yeah, I guess like in school, you know, his peers picked on him. But they had no choice but to respect when he donned the burgundy and gold to school because that's how good that football team was back in the day. Yeah. So I think that shows the franchise where it's fallen from and where Josh Harris and his group is trying to get back to. And where we are now, why that matters is because Dallas against Washington was not always a foregone conclusion. It was a big rivalry. Facts. I remember the RG3 Thanksgiving game? He got busy.
Santana on Monday night.
Debo, man. So many big games. You knew it was gonna be a dogfight. The last game RFK, I attended that. They closed it down with a victory of the Cowboys, who didn't play the starters in that game, in all fairness. Yeah. But right now, there's a one-sided looking rivalry, unfortunately.
I don't even know. I think
fans feel that way.
I think it's like a wild. I look at the betting odds. I think it's a wild, I don't pay attention. I'm going to say it's 12 or something like that. It's something crazy. George said, happy that I will be at a basketball game and relegated to the tablet. Good job, bro. You won't get punished, George. That's good, man. I'm a watch this game out of punishment. I see your Barry Sanders thing. I saw your tweet.
Yeah, dope documentary. It's about the way he chose to walk away from the game. But what stood out was he had aspirations to win a Super Bowl. That's probably why he retired.
He did, like, though. He
never wanted to play nowhere else. But he just thought, if we can beat Washington, the class of the league, then we're going to get ourselves in the best opportunity, the best chance to win a Super Bowl. He said, we're going to RFK. They're the class of the league, man. And they beat the Cowboys, by the way.
Yeah. I know they did. I remember that playoff year. I remember that
twice. Barry Sanders got sent home by the Washington Redskins, man.
That's crazy, man. Drew on X said, Hart wants them to shock the world and beat down the Cowboys. Brain says lose, but not in an embarrassing fashion. So, yeah, man. It's folks out here, man. They're not confident, Ray. Folks aren't confident. We actually got stuff on Facebook. So let me pull up the Facebook stuff too while I'm looking through, reading comments off. Just making sure folks get their shine out here. Here we go. Actually, this is an old one. I got one. This is actually about Rivera. This is a comment on Facebook about Actually, we'll do that later. We'll do that one later. But, yeah, so, I mean, it is what it is. Washington against the Cowboys. I mean, I'm hoping they don't. I hope they're respectful. I mean, they play respectful, respectably. But I don't know, bro. Watch is funny though.
This is funny though. If the Commanders pull out the upset, is there a possibility that Ron still loses his job this week?
I think so.
You want that to happen? That's what
I do.
It is.
I do.
If you,
I think
you beat
that
the Cowboys on national TV,
he could be already fired. That means, but they just give him one more game for a short week because everybody believes in this short week thing. They're just giving him one more game because it's a short week. Just because it's a short week.
I watched Terry Robiskie become the interim coach here, and this franchise scared to pull the trigger right now, bro. I remember Deion Sanders couldn't even say his name. He said his name. He called him Robinski with an N. He said, "I'm sorry for Coach Robinski." This is when they loaded up all the old talent. They pulled a Brooklyn.
Our defense with the old talent. If you be slight, our defense with the old talent was not that bad. Everybody tries to play that thing like it was bad.
I never said that. Well,
not you. Not you, Zara. It's folks listening. Not you, Ray.
They didn't win, but Coach Robinski, who was tough. You remember Coach Robinski will fight you. And he became the interim coach. Just get EB in the position. Let him take over this ball club until the end of the season, because the inevitable is coming, like I said earlier. If you beat Dallas, which would piss Dallas Nation off, see Ron going anyway.
I still hope he's fired anyway, regardless. But anyways, speaking of Rivera's job security or lack thereof, Ray, do you think it's best for the Commanders to let Rivera finish out the season? And it's wild. It's almost crazy. I'm going to tell you why. Because my brother gave me an idea about it. Because I was like, I'm still kind of like, now I went from 100% to like 80%. Like, I went from 100 to 80. Let me tell you why, right? Like, we both can agree that there's pretty much no chance to make the playoffs. So I'm like, let Ron finish it out and you get a good draft pick. Because you know he can't coach. You finish it out, you're gonna get a good draft pick, and Josh Harris is all about the process, like with the Sixers. Like, he was all about getting like the Embiid, Ben Simmons, Okafor, Markel. Look at all these dudes, all these good lottery picks he drafted off of just basically the process, getting a good lottery, getting a good pick. I'm just saying, let Ron finish this out. And now you could probably have an opportunity. If you get EB and EB start winning some games, then you're probably going to be a 15th pick over, like the 15th pick, or maybe a 13th pick overall. When you have Ron, we see Ron loses to the Giants, right? You know there's an opportunity to lose all your games, and you can probably get the seventh, fifth, make fifth spot. That's all. I mean, it makes sense when you put it that way. It sucks, but it makes sense. Sucks for folks watching the game, but it does kind of make sense. Just saying.
Some people are saying that Marvin Harrison Jr. is the best player in this draft. There are experts saying that. Commanders were to be in the top three, and considering the Bears maybe looking at Caleb, would you take Marvin Harrison Jr. if EB's going to be the coach moving forward?
I don't pass
loaded up with Big Ten receivers,
bro. I don't
Straight
even
up.
Care. Look,
two
I'm like
Ohio State receivers.
I don't even care, bro. I don't even care. I've seen that kid play enough. I know what time it is with that kid, dog. I'm like, yo, when it comes to like, I mean, I gonna hold you. When it comes to like having that guy, like, I'm gonna keep referencing it, dude. Minnesota didn't need Randy.
Minnesota offensive line could block, bro.
They weren't that good. You signed somebody, right?
You had Randall.
You got a second round pick.
Josh,
you can't draft nobody, right? You can't draft nobody second round. The problem is Ron don't be drafting them. He wait to the fourth round to get them. Like, that's the problem. The problem, Ron don't even try to sign them. If they free agents, Ron ain't even trying to get them. Like, Ron cool with Leno, bro. He cool with Leno. He cool with Wiley. Like, come on. He got dog. He signed Gates. Like, a new dude ain't signing these dudes, bro. Like, a new dude ain't signing these dudes. That's all I'm saying. You're right. You should draft. I'm just saying, if your left tackle, the tackle that's available, ain't 10 times better than Marvin Harrison Jr., you get Marvin Harrison Jr. If the tackle is close to Marvin, you get the tackle. That's all I'm saying. the Penn State dude is ideally the one you want to get. So to be real with you, if the Penn State dude is out there, you get the Penn State dude. I'm cute a buck. You get it, you know, you'll get him. If he ain't out there, if he ain't out there and Marvin is there, you get Marvin. That's not a knock or anything. That's just you getting the best player.
Okay, you gotta take your analyst hat off for a minute and put on your fan hat. Okay, we both thought that this team was capable of close to 11 victories.
Yeah.
You as a fan are going to sit here and watch this team ultimately tank because you want a good draft pick when this team is talented and had high aspirations, even by your estimation as both a fan.
Right now, you talking about taking my fan hat?
Have you checked out then?
Yeah, I checked out. I'm checked out. Yeah, so I'm cool with it. I'm checked out. I was checked out at halftime when the game was in doubt.
I'll tell you
this. I was like, this is terrible.
I hear you. I'm not checked out in terms of me being a fan of the team I root for. I'm not a fan of the coach, and it looks like he's not going anywhere. And now since I've heard that, I respect that decision, and I'm going to continue to root for my team to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
But in your case, your aspirations were higher than mine.
Yeah, exactly.
And my aspirations for this team were pretty high, and considering the front four on defense, considering Sam Howell, much stronger arm, accurate,
and better than what I expected. To be honest, he's better than what I expected.
EB at offensive coordinator, it won't hurt that much more to watch them become a top five draft team. That's terrible, man.
What? It won't. It's not. It doesn't hurt me at all because you're going to be better in the long run, dog. You're going to be better in the long run.
DeVito has put a fork in Ron Rivera. LeVar Arrington ended Troy Aikman's career. DeVito just ended Ron Rivera.
I think he did. I ain't gonna hold you. I think he did end Ron.
He will live in Washington infamy forever. Nobody will ever forget the name Tommy DeVito.
Tommy DeVito. Ever. Nobody will ever. He's in lore. He's in Washington lore. Washington Commanders lore. That's how he is. He is now a legend. He's a legend to me, bro. We lost to Tommy DeVito. And Ron Rivera lost to Tommy DeVito. That's the problem. Like, Ron Rivera lost to this dude. I don't even want to put it on the players. Like, Ron lost to him. All right, here you go, Ray. So, the same question. Do you think it's best for the Commanders to let Coach Rivera finish the season? This is on X. This is a poll on X. 77% said no. 23% said yes.
Yeah, he's got to go.
I don't know why. Simple. I mean, I feel like if you let him finish the season, what does it really? I mean, I want him to go because I want EB to coach. Like, so I guess it's for me. I want EB to coach. So the reason why I want him to be let go because I want EB to coach. That's it. Like, that's pretty much the reason why. But if you're telling me, like, would it hurt my feelings if he kind of like stayed? No, it wouldn't bother me. I'd be like, I know that he sucked. All right. So on our Facebook page. Fish, what's up, homie? Said no. The only reason he is coaching this week is because it's a short week. I hate that short week thing, bro. I hate it with a passion. It's Washington football team. If the Washington football team lose by 21 or more, they should fire him Friday, and see what you have in Lil Magic Johnson, Eric Bieniemy. Fish is wild. Michael Gilmore said the only reason he's still employed is because it's a short week. I hate that short week thing. Other than that, Rivera sleeps with the fishes. All right, Mafia man. I love it. Yeah, bro. The short week thing kills me. But he can finish the season. I mean, he finishes the season, be fine. If he gets fired ASAP and Eric Bieniemy is the coach, I'm in favor. I want that. Like I want that. I completely want that. But also on the flip side, I'm not gonna be mad if EB ain't if Ron is out there for the season. Because now you throw Marvin made it even better. Like, I wasn't even trying to think Marvin. I was thinking about the offensive tackle. But you throwing Marvin is a whole different beast. I ain't going to hold you. Like, I ain't going to lie to you. Like, if Marvin, real talk, if they don't want to take Marvin and they low enough and Marvin slips them to him, but you still got that tackle, like, right there, if you can trade back one and trade the rights to Marvin to somebody else and still get the tackle, I'd do that too.
All right, so based on what you're saying, and as we transition discussions, our next topic is not going to make a whole lot of sense, because speaking of being axed, if Coach Rivera is axed, Darius Leonard, Leonard, he was waived by the Colts. He's now cleared waivers. He is a free agent. does it make sense for the Commanders to sign a guy who's extremely talented, but his injury history and, of course, the back issues, which is a concern for many? Should Washington even consider it? Why would he even consider Washington if he's trying to win?
Is he trying to win? I don't know he's trying to win. Everybody keeps saying that. I don't know if he's trying to win. Everybody assumes.
What would you want to see? If you talking about tanking, ain't no point in bringing him in the building.
I mean, I want him for next year, so I'm bringing him in. I'm bringing him in. Dude, we got.
You can sign him for next year without bringing him in this year.
No, you'll be. I'm ready to have him for the first 2 years, this and next year. I want him in the building. I want to make sure that he's a Washington linebacker. Dude, they got Cody Barton and Mayo playing Mike, dude. What are we doing here? I hate when fans be like arguing me and being like, oh, he got back problems. Who's your linebackers, bro? Cody Barton, who's your middle?
Okay, so you look into the future. I see.
Yeah, I'm saying like you can get him for a couple years. This dude was a first team Pro Bowl, first team All Pro dude for like multiple years. He's only like, I think he's only 27. Like, dude, like, yeah, y'all talking about like, oh, he's been hurt, and he had, and somebody from the Indianapolis area who is a Washington Commanders fan said like he looked done. I'm just saying like, bro, their linebackers are Cody Barton and Mayo playing Mike. And I know that Zaire Franklin played his position, and now he had to play the other role. So he ain't even playing his true position in Indy coming back, because Zaire Franklin was killing. So he that's his position now. I'm like, bro, here, prepare him with Jamin. Pair him with Jamin. I'm for it. Like, I'm for that. Because you showing me Cody Barton and Mayo. I'm not doing this. Like, if I had a chance to get him, and I know that people talk about the Cowboys and the Cowboys and the Eagles. I think I heard something about the Cowboys and the Eagles are interested. I'm not surprised the Eagles are interested. The Eagles want everybody. Like, the Eagles will get anybody. You know, they want everybody good. But my thought process is like, in those situations, I don't know if he's actually starting in his natural position. I know here in Washington, if he comes here, he playing over them dudes. Jack better play him over those dudes, because them dudes ain't close to him. They ain't close to 80% of him. They're not close to 70% of him. So it's all I'm saying. I'm taking a flyer on him easily. Y'all know no one's gonna deter me from saying that. No X comment, no Facebook comment is going to deter me from saying that I would take Shaq Leonard over Cody Barton and Mayo and David Mayo. I'm good. I will take him. And I would store him for next year. And if he don't work out, he don't work out. There's always a draft, bro. There's always a draft. You know what I'm saying? There's always a draft. That's all I'm saying. I want freaking Shaq Leonard. I was about to say Darius. South Carolina State. Get him. HBCU, get him. That's why.
Yeah, you already got one HBCU player. He's been moved up to the main roster and prior from Bowie State, which is dope.
Oh, yeah, Danny Johnson. Danny Johnson from HBCU.
Danny Johnson as well, of course. Yeah. Listen, I'm just saying, he would fit in nicely. Yeah. I just don't know if this is the best destination for him. But that's the question. The question is, Commanders fans, would you take him? Many I've seen are saying, yeah, bring it. We got you always gonna have detractors. There's nothing wrong with that. Because the back injuries, as people are talking about basketball, Bradley Beal, it's lingering at times. So it's gonna be difficult. But if you're looking to next season and you're saying, okay, we got a healthy Shaq Leonard next season, I'm down with that. I'm cool. I don't know who the defensive coordinator is going to be or what
better than
this is going to be.
Better than this.
but I believe that a healthy, even 80% Shaq Leonard is probably a little bit better than what you got on the roster right now. So I'm okay with the signing. On another note, do I see it happen? Of course not, bro.
Come on. No, I don't see it happen either. I don't trust this team. Our Twitter, our X poll said the same question: should the Commanders be in the Shaq Leonard sweepstakes? 64% said yes, 36 said no.
So, That's more than half. That's what you
know what I'm saying. And my man T Living, so I'm gonna shout out T Living.
He
said, why two back surgeries, $6 million hit, and Del Rio still not fired? New ownership, hopefully we go younger and faster. Dog, you want weird young dudes, though. You want, like, fish Fish, whatever his name is.
Smithson.
Simpson, whatever.
I think T. Living is a good evaluator of talent. I think he's very much stubborn in his ways, but at the same time,
evaluator of talent. He has his favorites. That's all.
He does. He absolutely does. That's what I said. He's a little stubborn, but I think he knows talent when it comes to football. I respect it, and I do like the total rebuild, like Jacksonville, like Kansas City teams that have built their team through the draft, and you get players that you know you can potentially franchise in the future, and or you can develop sustainable success. That's what it's all about for me. I'm a broken record with that. But if you continue to try to sign the free agent splashes, then I don't think it's going to necessarily work out for you. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You want to make sure that you solidify certain positions. Of course, quarterback being one. And there's still questions amongst the fan base. Do you have the guy in place? But as Baltimore showed, as we talked about culture, defense, having a solid defense year in and year out can allow you to compete. And this team has had the talent to do it, but for whatever reason hasn't produced the results. So go to the draft, start to build that defense, start to build your team, keep your franchise quarterback as how, and bring your coach in for the future, man. I'm telling you, it's the youth movement, my guy. Father Time is undefeated, Wole. I'm trying to tell you, certain teams that try to add that one piece, it generally doesn't always work out. The Karl Malone and Gary Payton theory, it don't always work out, bro. It looks good, but it's not always. The Von Miller to the Bills hasn't quite worked out for them just yet. But
he was sick of hurt. But
you see the youth movement in Cincinnati. They compete. Now, I mean, the guy's injured, right? Well, the main guy's injured. But you want to go young. You want to start young and good. It feels good.
I feel like you got to do it's a mixture. You got to have a super young team, I agree, but you got to have some vets to kind of teach the young dudes how to rock. You know what I'm saying?
100%.
You know what I'm saying? I agree with you, though.
But not guys who's going to be thrust into starting roles either. Guys who are going to be on the sideline.
Dude, 27. Shaq is 27. He ain't old.
I wasn't talking about him. I'm talking about general.
Yeah, I got you. All right, so actually, there was a comment about the Cowboys. I do want to read one. I did say I was going to read it. At D Superman 25 said the best that I think we can expect or hope for is that Sam plays well or much better than he did against the Giants, even in a loss. You want to see improvement from the quarterback prospect against a great defense, but I won't be mad if we lose and improve draft position for the next year's GM and head coach. Next year's draft, you know what I'm saying? Lose games, dog. I told you.
I love so
lose games.
And I love how you set people up. What kind of question is what's the vibe like? I'm like, well, he's trying to make people go off on here. Like everybody know the vibe around this team right now. Dude, you are wild. What makes it even more interesting is the younger fans, they don't remember the glory days like you and I do. And they still have the same attitude as the old heads.
I know it's crazy, dog. Let me read one more, and then we can go to the next topic for real. The Cowboys game.
Splash Mo.
You know what I'm saying? Splash Mo.
Go ahead.
It's about the Cowboys game. At Oberdare said, I expect to see Dallas throw and running Will Sam to throw 3 touchdowns, run for 1, and be sacked 12 times by Micah Parsons.
Yeah,
sacked 12 times by Micah Parsons, though. 12 times.
Come on.
At this point, I just want to see 14 get through the season without serious injury and a loss of confidence. I hope to see the Rivera era end Friday morning.
I got one more question for the fan base. If the NFL had a transfer portal, who do you think would jump in it for the Commanders right now?
I think it'd be John Allen.
Jonathan Allen would totally be in the transfer.
I think he's jumping that joint quick.
Everybody be going to Philly right now, bro. That's where the rumors of Shaq Leonard, he's gone.
They say Philly or Dallas. They say I see Philly or Dallas.
Jonathan Allen to the transfer portal. That's hilarious. What's good, man? Get us over the hump, baby. We try to get a milestone.
We try to get a milestone. What y'all doing out there, bro?
Who would be in the transfer portal for the Commanders? That's hilarious.
That's
I would love funny. To see it.
You did that. Look, that's a good question, bro. We should put that out there for real.
That's stupid. Anyway, go ahead, bro.
I think I'm gonna do that on the next show. I think I'm gonna do that for the next show. We do.
That's
I'm gonna do that.
Nah, man, stop, man.
Hey, yo, that'd be amazing. Anyways,
he said like Jonathan Allen.
You know, that's a guarantee. I think he would jump. I think he would definitely jump, dude.
And they got the nerve to post like a heartfelt letter all the time. Like, I like to thank my friend, my family, my friends, yeah. and all my supporters, but I've decided to jump into the trash before. It's so messed up how they go about it. Hey, yo. Like, we love you, but you suck.
Oh, yeah. They do this all. Yeah, they so dirty. Them kids are so dirty, dog. Yeah, like, we love you, but we out. We sick of y'all. We sick of your school. I know it's crazy. All right, man, it's time for Wizards Talk. The NBA insider, Mark Stein, believes the Washington Wizards don't view guard Jordan Poole as a franchise player, but rather a significant piece to a potential trade. Do you think, Ray, the Wizards would trade Poole this season?
According to what we're reading, it ain't just him. It's a whole lot of people. It's a fire sale. You talk about potential turnover and roster and coaches, like a total makeover. Yeah, of course, Jordan Poole is expendable based on the results that mm-hmm. his team is netting right now. And you and I talked about this before the show. I've tried to be positive on Jordan Poole because
you have. Of
just what he's achieved and accomplished. However,
you've been real positive, bro. We'll talk about
that. When I saw him against the Bucks, and the Bucks, of course, are gaining momentum, mm-hmm. and the Bucks are one of the top teams in the East. And this dude comes down, does a crossover spin move, shoots like a running three, and then it bricked. And then he looked like, oh man, I just got my move off. I'm like, nah, bro. I told you straight up, as somebody who's played basketball, he's not somebody who I right now, the way he's playing, I wouldn't want to necessarily be on his team. I would be frustrated because I feel as though you still have enough young talent on this squad to compete. Bilal Coulibaly is one fun guy to watch. We also talked about young guys who have the it factor. Carmelo Anthony turned around a whole franchise who wants to win basketball games. Hey, gave Jim Boeheim his only national title in college. Mm-hmm. Bilal has that type of dog. He comes he's cut from a cloth that we talked about weeks ago. These guys from France, they come to play. Nicholas Batum, Wembanyama. I can't think of everybody's name right now. I get lost on some of the names. Oh, Nick, Evan Fournier. These guys, they're contributors in the league. They want to win basketball games, and I see that. And he's fun to watch. Watching him on the court, I want to tune in just to watch Bilal, straight up. I have issues with some of the personnel decisions in terms of substitutions. I told you I would like better ball movement. Kyle Kuzma can be a ball stopper, even though he plays to win. I think he wants to win. He got paid, which is hey, kudos to him. If I'm a Wizards fan, I'm tuning to watch Bilal, son. You talk about Denny complaining about the fans not being there. Well, if we're gonna show up, it's gonna be because we're seeing a young team who's competing. Look at the Pacers. I talked about them with just Blaze. They're out there competing, dude, and they're winning games. Orlando, a young team winning games, competing. This team can do it. I think the mentality has changed culture.
Yeah, the Cavs.
And it starts with Jordan Poole because he's supposed to be the leader on this team.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's the leader. I mean, I think Kuz is the leader. But Jordan Poole's the guy. It's supposed to be the piece that you kind of look as that young stud, right? Because of what you thought you saw a little bit while his time in Golden State. You know how at times he was like the guy they kind of leaned on at certain points in games. Yeah, man, I think they should trade him because I just don't think he plays winning basketball. I was there covering the game on Monday. And he started the game good. He scored 30, but it wasn't efficient 30. He scored 11, and he was 11 for 26 from the field. His plus and minus was like a negative 15. Especially in that fourth quarter, it was like a negative 10 or a negative 9. But he was a negative. Yeah, negative. I think I'm not sure. I gotta look it up. But he was that whole game. He was a minus. He wasn't a positive. And but I felt like they were trying to showcase him. So I'm not. That game gave me the lure. It gave me the feel that they left him out there to score 30 to kind of not to get confidence, but I felt like to use it to look at this as a way to show off that shiny toy. You know what I mean? And maybe folks, somebody can be interested. You know, Jordan scored 30. Look at this. Or maybe somebody who's not watching, but they see the box score that he scores 30. I just felt like watching that game, it was trying, you were trying to showcase Jordan Poole rather than win the basketball game. Because that's, we talked about this before the show started, Ray. That, like, I was there, man. Tyus Jones was the guy in the third. The Wizards made a run. They tied the game at 100. They were down that quarter. They were down in third quarter, 102 to 104. So the game was in striking range. And that was with Tyus and Kuzma leading the way. Those two were leading the way. Kuz finished that game with 13 assists. Those two were playing really good basketball, playing very well together. The ball was moving, was flowing. And West subbed, you know, West puts Jordan in the fourth quarter, which is fair. Like, everybody, you can't play 100. You can't play all. You play most of the thirds. You can't play the fourth. You got to rest, right? So I'm thinking, like, all right, the game is starting to get out of hand. And even Giannis is out. Like, Giannis is out and he started to get out of hand. I'm thinking to myself, put your best lineup in while, you know, while Giannis is out. So you can kind of get the, you know, kind of get a nice little lead. And Tyus doesn't come in the game, but then Jordan is doing his thing. Like you said, right? Playing one-on-one basketball, bricking shots, doing step backs, trying to get foul calls, not getting it. And it's like, yo, what you doing out here? So it's just wild. Like, he has all the free autonomy. It kind of reminds you. You know what he reminds me of? And I know it's people don't want, you know, people with, like, frown their faces. It reminds me of the Nick Young, Andre Blatch days when you watch Jordan Poole.
We just talked about that.
Yeah, it reminds you of that. That's, like, what it is, basically. It's not – you're not playing winning basketball. It's, like, more of that – it's rec ball. It's rec ball. That's what it is. You're playing rec ball. That's what it is. Not – and that's the sad thing. So, yeah, I would trade him, but I don't even – if a scout is doing their job, I don't know if you're going to ever get full real value for him. Because, you know, the fact of the matter is he's on a bad team and he's shooting the ball a lot. That's, and if you're on a bad team, you shoot the ball a lot, you can score. So I don't know how much you can actually get for Jordan Poole. You know what I'm saying? So you're going to
have to, well, you talked about his role in Golden State. I think a team that may be looking for some
400 like plus strong million,
bench
though?
Production, I think they would definitely take a run at
400 plus million, though, for that. That's what I'm saying. For, like, right, that money, right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. He ain't getting
so. Cam Mingo had a really strong response to this. He said he can't stand when fans want to trade somebody. I understand where he's coming from. And I told him, this is the day we live in, dude. Like, I remember when John Wall, I said this in response, when he first got traded to Houston, everybody was saying Houston won that trade. John Wall is back. And then John Wall was out the league. And John Wall couldn't even get on the court in Houston. I mean, stay away, almost is what they told him. And it's because, again, today's NBA, man, it don't take long, bro, before fans and before organization forms an opinion. And then all of a sudden, the trade room starts. Jaylen Brown, as successful as he's been in Boston, is always the subject of trade room.
Trade, that's key.
So, Cam, I feel where you're coming from, but
I think this is different, though.
This is a different. I'm just painting a picture of
even you're right,
like, extremely successful. Like, even people are saying, can Tatum be this guy? Can he win a championship? I would love to have Tatum on my team.
Of course.
But, again, the results that people want to see is winning and or winning championships. And when you're not even close to winning, that's when it's like, okay, let's try something different. And it don't take long at all. People have seen enough already of this Wizards team to say they're not going anywhere. Let's make some changes. And that right there is sad to me because I do think they got some young talent.
So on X, the poll, we had a poll for this. It should the Washington Wizards trade Jordan Poole this year? 70% said yes. 30% said no. So in terms of what Cam said, I'm gonna read his tweet. He said, no, this is why I can't stand some Washington fans. They were so excited when they acquired Poole in the offseason. After 4 weeks into the season, y'all want to give him up. This is almost similar when they wanted to get rid of Bradley Beal out of DC. It's different. Bradley, I mean, I think Bradley, like, fans, you're valid about fans trying to get Bradley out of DC, though. You know, I mean, I thought Bradley was overpaid, but it's a valid point. Like, Cam's point is very valid using Bradley Beal, that situation about fans. I don't think you can put Jordan Poole and Bradley Beal in the same situation because Bradley Beal has always been a starter and a scorer and an efficient scorer in the NBA. Jordan Poole, he played a particular style. He was never the guy. He was not even the second guy. The third guy is a scorer. But when you're playing with Clay, and I'm gonna say this is the truth. When you're playing with Clay and Steph, the court is free for you because the spacing is amazing. Because everybody's worried about Steph and Clay, so your spacing is gonna be great. If you're playing one of those dudes on the court, your spacing to go one-on-one is going to be totally different from any other situation, especially here in D.C. It's going to be different.
Shout out to Just Blaze. I guess my question to Cam and some other fans would be this, and this is just a question.
Yeah,
it's not necessarily my personal feeling. Yeah. Should you have just kept Chris Paul? Chris Paul has gone to every franchise he's played for, and they've competed and went to the playoffs. He took Oklahoma City to the playoffs. He took Houston. Should you just stuck with him and allow young people to learn? You talking about on the football side of things, will they learn it from veterans? He's like the perfect veteran to learn from.
I agree. I think it'd be a good one, too. I think Chris Paul would have been good for this situation, for the young dudes. I think Chris Paul would have been good for Bilal.
Bilal and Denny, I think.
Yep, Denny. You know what I'm saying? I do. I think that would have been awesome. I think it would have been great for Bilal, to be honest. But I don't – like, not to knock – and actually, I think Jordan's actually – in real talk, I can't – I got to be keeping a buck. I think Jordan's playing good tonight, though. So, this could – maybe Wes was right, because I know Wes was saying that this is – him scoring 30 was putting him in the right direction to be a better basketball player. So maybe he was doing it for confidence boost. I think Jordan has 22 points. His percentage is be wild, though. 7 for 18 for the field. He's 4 for 10.
Yeah, he's going to be a high-volume shooter. That's fine. I'm okay with fans to say, let's give it some time. Let's not just run a man out of town.
Yeah.
I think, like I said, based on what we're hearing, the sample size is enough for the franchise to feel like they're going to make moves.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the thing. It ain't about what fans want. We're talking about people in the organization. If this is true, like, people in the organization have seen enough. You know what I'm saying? And it's the mannerisms too, right, Ray? Like you talked about, it's the mannerism, the body language.
Oh,
you even said it. Like, you questioned it. We were texting each other. We were like, I'm not sure if dude want to even be here. You know what I'm saying? So it's the mannerisms too. Like,
yeah, I mean, I haven't seen that sort of fire from him, like, you know what, we gonna get this right. I haven't heard a message of let's do this, let's win. I see a message of
me.
I won a championship. I created my legacy. Y'all know who I am, and I'm gonna do my thing. And hey, that's it.
I could be
wrong.
Now I kind of see a me mentality. I guess that's my issue. And I'm gonna say something that Koo said, which I thought was like on Monday. He said this, and I thought it was kind of telling, but I don't know if people gonna run with it. He said, like, when they asked, he had 13 assists. He was like, I got 13 assists. I just wanted to set a tone and show people if I'm willing to pass the ball, everybody else should be willing to pass the ball. And because you said, Ray, like, he ain't a passer. Like, you said he'd be looking people off. He got 13 assists looking people off. And that's good. Like, for Kuz, that's saying something, right? He said, if I'm willing to pass the ball, move the ball, that means the next man should be willing to pass the ball. You know what I'm saying? Knowing Kuz's temperament and where his position is on this squad, I thought that was telling.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Winning basketball, it comes down to culture, mentality. It comes down to effort, and it comes down to playing as a team. And for years, that's what has been a struggle in terms of consistency, is they don't always play as a group. Yeah. You see a lot of individual basketball playing, and that's not good. I think ball movement, making sure you don't have a team defend one shot.
Yeah.
You want to make sure you move the ball. If you know that somebody's gonna go one on one, it's easy to defend.
Easy.
But when you move that ball, man, and you getting your young guys involved, Corey Kispert played a strong game.
He was playing good, yeah.
And he's somebody, he can be a potentially floor spacer for you.
Yeah,
you know, if you create for your teammates. So
and
I think playing smart basketball. I don't know what Wes's coaching philosophy. I don't know what the identity of the team is, and that's the challenge moving forward.
Yeah.
So I don't know. They're going to make a move before the trade deadline. And that's the refreshing part about this new front office, is you know it's not going to be status quo. So something's going to happen. We'll see what it is.
Yeah, hopefully something happens soon, because this team is as constructed. They're going to need some help for the movement for the future, not for this season, but for the future.
They're up now. Now can they close?
They were up big. Yeah, so
let me tell you though, Wiz. This again, I said it. Even though the Commanders are number one in this town, DC is still a basketball town, bro. You win, the fans will come out, bro. I'm telling you.
You said more than the Commanders if they win, or you?
No. I'm saying.
Oh, the you're
Commanders
saying
will always be number one, but DC is a basketball town.
Oh yeah.
High school, college level.
Yeah.
DC
facts.
Is a basketball town. The greats that we have from this area, the DMV in general.
Oh, okay.
When John and Brad had it popping, the fans were there.
Man. When John had it popping,
when Gilbert Arenas
and John had it popping.
Oh, come on. Come on, Wole. Brad, him and Brad was a good duo, man.
Come on, they were. But, John, we know who had it popping for real, though. We know who had this. You know, whose city was it, though? Who does everybody acknowledge? Acknowledge me. Who everybody acknowledge? Hey, Ray. Who does everybody acknowledge? You know it, too. Wild, man. When he come back. Wild. Am I lying, though? But, Ray, who does everybody acknowledge out of the two, though? The majority acknowledge. Brad had it popping too, though. Both of them did. All jokes aside, though. I just want people to give John his flowers. I feel like, you know what I'm saying? Let everybody know that it was his city. But Gil, though, shoot. I feel like Gil had this thing lit. And Gil was something. I feel bad for the people who missed out on Gil. For the fans, for the young fans who missed out on Gil. That was a vibe. As a Lakers fan, like, Gil was a vibe. Gil used to give me hype watching Wizard games. Like, how he would go into LA and him and Kobe. I don't know, man. Him and Kobe battle in LA. I don't know if folks remember that. Some of the young kids, go back and YouTube that or whatever. That one-on-one matchup, that was like old school Neek versus Larry Bird type stuff. Like, they were going back at it. They was like playing one-on-one in an NBA basketball game. That was lit. That was lit. That was something special. So yeah, check that out. But yeah, Gil had the city on. Gil was definitely a vibe, bro. Gil was definitely a vibe. Gil and Larry was kind of tight too when they were together.
Yeah, that's something we could reminisce on one day. We need to do some different type of episodes when
you're right.
Gil,
you're right.
We did a birthday party at Love. I don't know if it was Dream at the time, but he had celebrities in town. People were coming to the Wizards games as if it was Madison Square Garden.
True.
And that's something that you can achieve in DC. DC is a great place.
Oh my God,
to succeed in terms of sports. I don't understand why the owners don't seem to get that, bro. Do what you got to do. We need more than just a billboard, a Metro bus, or Lido's, or Eastern Motors commercials. We need more than that, dude. Like, DC is a great place, man. The DMV in general is a great place to be to succeed in sports. Like I said, it's a basketball town, but it's some still rich football talent, too. Look at the number one pick in the NFL draft coming this year. Where's he from? Hey, listen. I'm telling you, man, we got to get it together. If it happens, there's no better time that I can think of as a kid in terms of football fans than when the Redskins will win it. Even though I wasn't a Redskins fan, they'll win it. It was a big deal. The fundraisers at school revolved around it. We got tickets. We were forced to go to a Bullets game as part of a field trip.
My God, weren't we though forced?
You got to re-engage the people in the community if you think the community is going to stand behind you, man. I think the Nats actually do a good job of doing that.
They do a good job.
Come on, Wizards. Come on, Commanders. Let's see you do it, baby.
Yeah, Cavs are doing it. So do
happy Thanksgiving.
Yes, man. Happy Thanksgiving. Hey, happy Thanksgiving, everybody, man. Hey, before we end this show, I'll subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also follow us on X at Urban Sports Scene, IG at Urban Sports Scene, and like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Make sure you subscribe to our Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel. We won away from 500. You watch this on YouTube and you ain't a subscriber, subscribe. Get us to 500. We there, man. We there. You know what I'm saying? So make sure you subscribe and like this video. All right. Also, check out the home of the Urban Sports Scene, which is Amplifier Media at amplifiermedia.com. And this show can be found on the Podcast DC app. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all of the Amplifier shows as well as other great content. Anyway, thank you all for tuning in. Appreciate everybody, man. Happy Turkey Day. Enjoy it. What else did I want to say? You got anything you want to say, Ray? No? You got nothing you want to say?
I'm good, bro.
Anyway, you've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Deuces, a mega. Get this out, big homie.